This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We're watching markets react to the news of President Trump's positive COVID test. I'm David Brancaccio. The president's overnight announcement that he and the First Lady and a senior advisor have tested positive for coronavirus is shaking up financial markets. In this situation, the impulse tends to be to sell stocks. The wave of selling that started at the moment of the tweet continues, with the Dow at the moment down 205 points, 0.8%. The S&P 500's down 1%. The NASDAQ is down 1.3% in early trading. There is an update this morning that testing negative today are Vice President Pence and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin. Michael Hewson at CMC Markets in London says it is uncertainty on top of uncertainty in a month, October, where there's often volatility.
When you've got Democrat and Republican politicians arguing about whether or not we're going to get a fiscal stimulus, coming off the back of a rather disappointing debate earlier this week, this is really the last thing the president needs at a time when he's trailing in the polls.
There hasn't been an especially vigorous move into government bonds this morning that might have been seen as a safe haven. The 10-year yield is actually up slightly, 0.69%. There's also news this morning that hiring in America for September came in lower than expected, with payrolls increasing by 661,000. Still, the unemployment rate dropped to 7.9%. And there is a thesis that teachers getting back on the payroll the month before to do extra planning for this new pandemic semester needs to be factored into these September findings. Christopher Lowe is the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Greetings, sir.
Good morning, David.
I mean, many analysts see this as a fairly weak report, lower than expected, but you think it's not that bad?
It really isn't that bad. What happened is teachers came back early this year. So they showed up in August and they didn't show up in September. The result is it looks like there's a big drop in government employment, although we are actually up on net the last couple of months. Private employment was up 877,000, which is more than expected. Plus, there was 140,000 upward revision to the last 2 months, and a bigger than expected drop in the unemployment rate.
Yeah, down to 7.9%. Now, we and you are tracking disadvantaged communities. What did you see there in today's report?
The African-American unemployment rate fell from 13% to 12.1%. So that's a much bigger drop than the general drop in unemployment. And then we're also watching those with less than a high school diploma. That tends to equate to the unskilled workforce. The unemployment rate there fell from 12.6 to 10.6, a really big drop. And what that means is some of these disadvantaged communities are starting to catch up, a very encouraging sign in September.
Chris Lowe at FHN Financial, always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, David.
This is the last jobs report before the election. Now, since March, Amazon has been repeatedly testing its 1.3 million strong workforce for COVID-19. The company is now saying 19,000 people have tested positive or have been presumed positive over those months. Given what the CDC says is the rate in the general population, Amazon indicates it would have expected many more positives, around 34,000. By next month, Amazon hopes to be doing 50,000 tests a day on its employees. A federal court says that for now, the Trump administration cannot prevent people coming to the U.S. on certain work visas. The limits on visas mainly used by tech and agricultural workers were supposed to last until the end of this year. But as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington, a judge finds the president overstepped his power.
U.S. District Judge Jeffrey White ordered the government to start issuing H-1B visas again, which are primarily used to bring in tech workers. Angelo Paparelli is an immigration lawyer at the firm Seyfarth Shaw in California.
This covers more than the H-1B visa. It covers a number of other work visa categories that are quite vital to the U.S. economy.
Like H-2B visas for some seasonal workers and J visas for cultural exchanges. The ruling only applies to the specific groups that sued in this case, but that includes huge associations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the National Retail Federation.
If the government were to try and administer this injunction and abide by its terms, it would have to have a process in place to ferret out those who could not claim association membership.
A lawyer for the group said they have more than 300,000 businesses in their membership already. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Civil rights activists in the 1960s are largely responsible for the existence of Black Studies programs at colleges and universities throughout the country. Now, Black Lives Matter protesters are playing a similar role. Jessica Bakeman of WLRN reports that under renewed pressure, universities are planning to spend millions on addressing racial justice.
Could you cut the lights?
Florida International University anthropology professor Andrea Queeley is leading a conversation about violence and prejudice against Haitians in the Caribbean.
That even the word Haitian becomes a marker, of lower class status.
I think even regionally.
This class was back in March, before COVID-19 forced the Miami Public University online.
So it's blackness, but it's also proximity to Africanness, right?
Queeley is Black, and she's fought for years for the survival of the university's master's degree in African and African diaspora studies. It's been under threat because of its small enrollment of 3 to 6 students per year. Now the university has made, quote, enhancing the program part of its new plan to end institutional racism. The administration hasn't made specific commitments yet, but Queeley and her colleagues want to see the program expanded with new faculty and postdoctoral fellows.
There's this moment of awareness for pushing the agenda of justice further.
This moment isn't specific to FIU. Schools around the country are offering grants for research projects on anti-Black racism, and some are committing to hire more professors whose expertise is in the study of race. Washington University in St. Louis is one of those schools. It's putting $1 million into a new Center for the Study of Race, Ethnicity, and Equity, and beyond that, hiring a dozen new faculty members.
I think of them literally as like the astronauts.
Adrienne Davis is a Black law professor and the incoming director of the new center. She says the new professor she'll hire will approach dismantling racism like launching a spacecraft.
You know, our university helped put the Mars rover on Mars. Great research universities solve the world's problems.
At some institutions that have not made these kinds of commitments, faculty members are pushing for renewed support for Black studies. According to the most recent federal data, 6% of college professors throughout the country are Black. In Miami, I'm Jessica Bakeman for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.